And good Saturday morning. Welcome to the holiday weekend version of our car care show. Danny Long here. Let me say hi to ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Hi, Dan. Happy Thanksgiving again to you.
Well, thank you, Danny. You too. And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, and all of our listeners as well. We've had different Thanksgiving, certainly weather-wise, and it looks like, and you're listening to that forecast, folks who did not put on their snow tires yet are probably still in luck. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like they for sure have another week, based on what I just heard. But but you never know this time of year, do you?
No, you don't. Tomorrow's another day for sure. If you're new to the show, again, thanks for joining us. Dan has helped our CCO listeners out here for at least 26 years and counting. And if you have any kind of issue with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service to your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, and you want to know what the heck could be wrong with it, why don't you call Dan or text Dan? It's the same number, whatever's easier for your question. 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. What's been going on with you and your crew at Lloyd's this past week?
Well, as you can imagine, it was a crazy busy week. Everybody wanting to get their vehicles on the road for the holiday weekend, and we seemed to get through them all. Got everything accomplished, and we're doing great today. Today we're not open, of course, with the long weekend. We do that with holiday weekends where we close on Saturday and give everybody the weekend off. But we'll be back at it on Monday, and then back on Saturday again, the following Saturday.
Yeah, as usual. I've got to see you this coming week for an oil change on my wife's truck. I call it a truck. It's an SUV, but it really is a truck, in my opinion. I mean, it's nice, but it is a truck. So I'll be calling in for an appointment come Monday morning to see when you're available. Of course, I'm a believer in synthetic oil. I know you are, too, big time.
I am, indeed. I am indeed a believer in synthetic oil. And actually, this week, we were kind of having a discussion and actually doing a little bit of research on what the difference is between a synthetic oil and a conventional oil. And my question at the time was, and I had to go look for the answer, is synthetic oil made from crude oil? And the answer is yes, most commonly it is made from crude oil. It's highly refined to start with, and then it's chemically modified so that all of the molecules become the same size, and that's what makes synthetic oil special, and why it is such a good lubricant, and why it has such longevity. With a conventional oil, Denny, as the motor oil starts to break down, it actually kind of turns back to crude oil. It turns back to sludge and a tar-like material. And with synthetic oil, that either doesn't happen or takes much, much longer for that to happen. And so from the moment you put it in the car until the time that you drain it out of the car, it's doing a superior job of lubricating.
And you have, I would imagine, in your experience, seen vehicles that that use, the old, what I call old oil, that it does turn to sludge. Have you seen it like tar when you have worked on a car?
I've actually seen it where people have neglected their oil change for tens of thousands of miles, and it's ruined the engine. And when you take the engine apart to diagnose it and see what we can do to fix it, you'll find that it is literally full of sludge and tar-like material and nasty in there. And what happens is that, that stuff gets in there and plugs all the little ports where oil's supposed to flow through, and then the oil, what's left of the oil won't even flow through the engine anymore, and that's what ruins the engine.
I know that you are a believer in, first of all, advising folks, you know, check out your manual, your owner's manual once in a while. And if somebody's wondering, should I use this gas, should I use this oil, or should I do this or that, you always recommend following the manufacturer's direction. And I see it's all synthetic now, isn't it? And then in the newer cars, I mean, that's what they recommend, the right viscosity, but in synthetic, right?
Well, I can't say 100%.
Right.
That's for sure. The majority of cars nowadays want you to use synthetic oil, and I agree. And, you know, my answer with regarding oil is use what the manufacturer recommends or better.
Or better.
You're certainly not going to hurt anything by going better, but you for sure want to at least use what they recommend.
And some of it is really thin. I think my vehicle uses viscosity of 0.20, but I think my son Tony has his is 0.16. I mean, it's like water.
Yeah, I know. I wonder what's next.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe yeah. There's thinner. All right, I tell you what let's do, Dan. Let's take a quick break here, inviting our listeners. Keep in mind, Dan is only going to be with us for about another 30 minutes. So if you have any kind of a car care question, we'll come back and we'll grab some text messages. If you want to chat with Dan or send Dan your car care question via text, it is the same number. But don't wait. 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. For any kind of a car care question you might have for Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. In the Twin Cities, it's still 27 degrees. We're going to hit about 38 today, but it's going to be in the 40s this coming week. You stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, which is located exactly where there in Grand, Dan?
Well, thank you for asking, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can also find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give a call as soon as Monday at 651-228-1316.
We'll be doing that very thing come Monday. And Dan will give you that phone number before he leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. So if you have any kind of a car care question like some folks have, don't wait. Call it in or text it in at 651-461-9226. In fact, speaking of calls, let's get to the phones, Dan. Mike in Victoria, I believe, is first up here. Thanks, Mike. What's your question for Dan?
Yes, we have, good morning. We have a 2011 Ford Escape, and at different times, starting the vehicle, turning the key, it won't go, and we might have to do that multiple times before, you know, it'll turn the engine over. Is the problem there most likely the ignition switch, and how complicated a procedure is that?
Well, there's three things that I would say that the problem could be, and the process would be you need to do a quick test here. Most commonly it would be the ignition switch, the starter relay, or the starter itself. And what I would do if the car was in my shop would be to start at the starter. The smallest wire going to the starter is the signal wire that the starter gets its signal from the from the ignition switch, and you would put either a voltmeter or a test light on that wire while it's still connected, and turn the ignition switch and see if you're getting power. You need to be getting a full 12 volts or full battery voltage at that point on the starter. If you are getting 12 volts when it's not starting, then the starter itself has failed. If you're not getting 12 volts at the starter, then you need to work your way back up the line and see where you're losing power or why the power is not getting to the starter, and then the next point you would do that same check is at the starter relay, and then you would go back to the ignition switch itself, and eventually you'll find out where the power is stopping, why it's not getting to the starter, and that's the component that will need to be replaced.
All right, very good. Thanks, Mike. Hope that helped. Let's see who else is waiting in line here. Jim is calling in from iSanity this morning. Jim, you're on CCO with Dan Burns.
Okay, thank you. Hi, guys. Say, I got a brake problem with a PT Cruiser. I just want your best guess, I guess. The first thing that happened was the pedals would go down real slow at a stoplight. Not drastically slow. I mean, very slow, you know. So I knew something was amiss. And one day I'm driving in Elk River, I'm from iSanity, and I come up to the stoplights there with traffic there. And good thing I used to be a race car driver, because I had to do some fast dancing when I stepped on the brake and I went right to the floor. I had to get in the other lanes, and oh, man, that was... So then I had to drive back to iSanity with no brakes, because I couldn't see spending $150 for a tow truck. Anyway, now what it's doing is the pedal is there. It's rock hard right on at the top, but there it doesn't apply the brakes very good, just barely, you know.
What do you think, Dan?
Well, I would you'll have to do a little bit of checking on that, but my best guess would be first of all, is the master cylinder, the, you know, the main hydraulic part of the brake fluid, has that failed? But before I condemned the master cylinder, I would check the vehicle very, very carefully for a leak somewhere and see if on your PT Cruiser, if one of the brake lines has rusted out and it's got a leak where you're losing hydraulic pressure. And if you are losing hydraulic pressure, that has a strange effect on the brake pedal, where it will continue to try and operate whatever side of the master cylinder is still in operation, you know, just for safety purposes. But the other side may have failed completely. So first of all, check the master cylinder, see if it's low, and if it's low, then I would do some looking for a leak. If you don't find an external leak in the brake lines anywhere or the brake system, then I would take the master cylinder off and see if it is leaking on the inside of the master cylinder, or is it leaking internally. And you might find that you are going to need to replace that brake master cylinder.
All right. Very good. Good luck with that, Jim. I'm going to grab some text messages in just a bit, but I want to grab one more phone call before we check out the weather. Quinn's calling in from Ham Lake this morning. Quinn, thanks for calling. What's your question for Dan?
Question is, I got a 2010 vehicle which uses regular oil. Now, accidentally, when I had oil change, they put in synthetic. Now, somebody told me, once you put in synthetic oil, you should not go back to the regular, because that could harm the engine.
Yeah. I actually did that little study myself yesterday, and I found that to be a wives' tale. That's just not true. The oils are completely interchangeable. You can use part of one and part of the other. And back in the old days, we used to think that because a synthetic oil is such a high detergent, that it'll clean everything out and cause leaks. And we just have not found that to be true. So they are mixable, interchangeable, and if you switch back and forth, that's just fine.
Yeah, good. Good to know. All right, let's see. Here's one here, and then we'll have a look at the weather. It says, good morning. I have a spare donut tire that says max 60 PSI on it. The question is, should I inflate it to 33 PSI, like it says on my door and my other four tires, or inflate it to the higher PSA, by the way, PSI, rather. By the way, they say I love the show. So thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the show. And you should do what it says on that little mini donut spare. It says to inflate it to 60, and they're a different design, and they are designed to be run on that high pressure like that. So that little donut spare should be inflated to 60 PSI.
Yeah, I think I have bicycle tires that can be inflated up to 80 PSI. as I recall, which surprises me. But that's a whole other issue. I tell you what, let's do this, Dan. We have a bunch of text messages I want to get answered as well. So let's take a break for weather. 651-461-9226 is our number. We're in the midst of our car care show. We are here every Saturday, thanks to folks like Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive helping you out in the 7 o'clock hour. 27 is still the temperature reading. You might see a few flurries today, maybe, but maybe some sunshine later on as well. We'll get you the details coming up here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you, the holiday weekend. Denny Long here with, in the midst of our car care show. Dan Burns, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, is answering, as usual, your questions. And as usual, Dan, we have a bunch, both phone-wise and text-wise. In fact, let's go back to the phones. I think Warren is calling in from someplace in Florida this morning, probably going to rub in the temperature. Warren, good morning.
Yeah,
thanks for calling.
Actually, Chapel, Florida. It's 75 degrees here and sunny. It'll be beautiful weather.
Well, good for you. But go ahead.
Pardon?
You go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, I'm originally from Maple Grove. We moved down here.
Very good.
But I got a 2017 Chevy Malibu, and the key fob, when I try to lock it, all the doors lock, but I can't get the trunk lid to lock. And then if I use the, you know, release it like I was going to unlock it, I can feel the latch click in the trunk, but I can't get it when I lock it, key fob, I can't get it to lock the trunk. The doors lock, but not the trunk. I didn't know if that latch was bad.
Yeah, does the lock lock when you use the regular button?
Yeah, I got a key fob. Yeah, when I push lock, it's the trunk lid should lock along with the doors, right?
Right, but it does not.
It does not. The doors lock and everything, but the trunk lid does not.
Yeah. Well, I your question is, do I think it's in
the latch?
And I think yes. The answer is, I think it is in the latch. The when you're pushing that button, it's just sending one signal to all the locks and to the lock module, and so they should all be getting the same signal. They should all be locking at the same time. And if they're not, then the problem's either in the module itself. The module isn't sending that signal back to the latch, or the latch itself has failed. One thing that we see from time to time is because the trunk opens and closes, and oftentimes when it opens and closes, there's a flex point with the wiring that goes back there, and sometimes we find that the wiring itself, in that where it flexes back as the trunk opens, that wiring has broken, and that'll cause things in the trunk latch to act funny.
All right, very good. Enjoy that warm weather, and have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Thanks, Warren. Do you have any, so this text says, do you have any sources for an extra set of wheels to put on snow tires versus changing tires on my existing wheels?
I do not have a good source for wheels for your vehicle, although if you do an internet search, you'll find they're all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a great idea. The taking the tires on and off the wheels, taking the rubber on and off the wheels, is very hard on the rubber. And so I don't recommend you do that too often. You can end up with torn beads, and it's just hard on the tire. So I would recommend, if you're going to run snow tires on your vehicle, that you do have an extra set of wheels.
Yeah, for sure. Here's a 2014 Ford Edge. Heat and AC work great on the passenger side, but don't work on the driver's side. The fan blows air, but does not get hot or for heat or cold for AC. What's wrong, and how do you reset this?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure it can just be reset. There's blend doors for each side of the vehicle that controls the temperature and things like that, and they're oftentimes operated by little servo motors. And if one of those doors isn't moving, either because the door is broken or the servo motor isn't working, that you'll get symptoms like what you're experiencing. Good news is the heating and air conditioning system is computer controlled, so we can access that with our diagnostic tools and find out what's going on, what's working and what's not working. Maybe there's some diagnostic trouble codes that are stored in there, and if there are, then that'll give us some direction as to where to go to repair that for you.
Okay. Here's one that says, my son put bigger tires on his truck. Is it possible to get the speedometer back to normal? It's off about 3 to 5 miles per hour.
It is, and I'm just trying to remember, I think, you know, it depends how your speedometer works exactly, but yes, there are things that can either be reprogrammed in the, computer itself to compensate for the different wheels and tires. Sometimes there's a little module that you can plug in line at the speed sensor and compensate for the different wheels that way. But if you do some research on the internet, you'll find a way or some sort of usually there's a piece that you can buy and install, and it'll come with directions, and that'll take care of that difference. What they're talking about, Denny, is if you, of course, put bigger wheels on or smaller wheels on your vehicle than it's programmed for, the tires are turning faster or slower than they should be, and that, of course, affects your speedometer.
Yeah, interesting question. Another oil question, Dan. It says, with synthetic oil and the ability to extend the change interval, how long in between should one wait to change the filter, and does using a more expensive filter give one better protection?
Well, I think more expensive generally equals better, so my answer is probably that's true, and you should still continue to change your oil and oil filter. Always do them together. And you should do those on the manufacturer's recommended interval.
Okay, very good. 2009 Honda Accord 2.4-cylinder. It has 150,000 miles on it. Seems to go through a half a quart of oil every 800 miles. No leaks. Is this normal?
I think that's probably pretty normal with a vehicle with that many miles on it. You know, when the oil is always flowing, and the oil is always lubricating the walls of the combustion chamber with a very, very thin streak of oil. It's immeasurable over time on a brand new engine. As time goes by, though, that gap gets a little bit bigger, and it leaves a little bit more oil on the inside of the combustion chamber. And because of that, it'll burn a little bit more oil. And so over a long period of time, that becomes measurable, and when it becomes measurable, then you're going to notice that you might have to add a little oil once in a while, and that's just fine. It's, the repair would be to replace the engine, and that's probably not worth that.
Probably not. Let's see. We've got time, I think, for another one. Another, a lot of folks, we started talking about oil. It piqued a lot of folks' curiosity. What about older vehicles, and I'm trying to decipher this. Let's just say it's a 92 Ford engine. It looks like it might be a truck. Can you use synthetic oil and change back if needed? Well, you've already answered that question as far as going back and forth.
And that is a good question, a synthetic oil on an older vehicle. And, you know, part of the manufacturing of synthetic oil happens in the refining process. It gets partway down the road of becoming a full synthetic oil. And so that's going to happen with pretty much all motor oil nowadays, where it's at least partially synthetic, just because the manufacturing process creates that. And so, I don't think you have much choice as far as using, you know, at least a synthetic blend, and because that's just the way that it is nowadays. And I think on pretty much any vehicle, that will be just fine.
But as you look, and I know we have to run here, but as you look at the can or bottle or whatever of oil, it will say, if it's full synthetic, it'll state such, won't it?
Well,
or should it?
You know, there's some question about whether that's a marketing thing or if that's a an actual label that's controlled somehow by the federal government. And it seems like I don't have a good answer for that question. It seems more like if it's got some synthetic in it, then, or some level of synthetic, then they're free to call it synthetic. But I think even synthetic oils have different grades, and so you need to buy a good quality name brand. And I think with that, you'll do just fine.
Well, come Monday, if some folks want to get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we do that?
Well, come on over. We are at 9.
Oh, somebody's close by.
Yeah, not with me, but anyway.
A little interference.
Yeah, I guess. We're picking up somewhere. We're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Excellent, Dan. Thanks for your help again. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, all the crew at Lloyd's. And we'll talk 1 week from today, and I'll see you this coming week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
All right, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.